Well, this is one of the busiest ladies in the country today. She's been a wonderful advocate in recent times for our tourism industry. Of course, the fear is that at the end of March, JobKeeper comes to an end. There's going to be thousands upon thousands of workers who are going to be really, really struggling. Now, there are some positive signs. Firstly, I'll go to this one. This is page one of today's Australian newspaper. It's not quite what we're looking for, but it's a move in the right direction. Employees working for the nation's worst affected restaurants, cafes and hotels would continue having wages subsidised up by taxpayers on a monthly basis after JobKeeper ends, under a detailed rescue package being pitched to Josh Frydenberg to help save the hospitality industry. This is Wes Lambert and his restaurant caterers. Good on him. But that fundamentally needs to be embracing. That thought, that concept needs to be embracing the whole tourism industry. Now, there was a hint you might have seen in your television grabs of the Prime Minister last night. There was a hint that he may be considering something of a rescue package. He said, look, we're not in the game of announcing making announcements on this sort of thing before they're actually needed. So I think that there is the prospect of some sort of help. Now, of course, the strongest advocate on your TV screens in this regard in recent times has been Margie Osmond. She has been so energised. You might have seen her on TV last night. Margie's the Chief Executive Officer of the Tourism and Transport Forum, and she's with us on the line today. Margie, good morning and congratulations. You were absolutely passionate on television last night.
Oh, you're very kind, John, and I should thank you for your ongoing and complete support and interest in the industry, so thank you.
Tell me about the prospect. Now, you would have picked up on the hint from the Prime Minister that he's considering something. What do you think is going on in his mind, and what should be going on in his mind?
Well, look, I think Scott has a deep interest and background, of course, in the tourism sector. And, I think probably spending time in Queensland is making it clear to him that our sector, more than any other, is completely and absolutely dependent upon the border issue, whether it's international or domestic. And while it might be fine to say, well, JobKeeper comes to a grinding standstill at the end of March, I'm not certain that that's viable in terms of our industry. You know, if you actually want to have a tourism industry in 12 to 18 months, yeah, it's going to require some level of support. Mm. I don't say that JobKeeper is the whole and sole solution, but we do need to rethink it. And you're quite right about the indefatigable Wes Lambert. He's doing a great job for the hospitality sector. And we need now to think about what is version, I don't know, five, whatever it is, a JobKeeper that actually looks specifically at the needs of the industry and tailors it back to, okay, so if 50% of your normal turnover is international, yes, right, well, you should continue to qualify. Yes. Do you know what I mean? It's these kinds of things that we need now to think through and go back to government with. And we also need to do some much more specific things in terms of supporting major attractions and other things, and giving some thought to the hotel industry too, because it's fine that some of them are getting quarantined, but certainly not all of them are, and they're on the bones of their you-know-what. Yep. And, there's so many jobs associated with this, John.
Do you know, I've got to pay credit to the local member here. This is Warren Inch. He is dead set intent on supporting pushes for further assistance after March, and so is TTNQ's Chief Executive Mark Olson. He's quoted here in the Cairns Post today saying a $25 billion export industry is at stake.
Quite right. And look, you know, on our calculations, because the sort of breakdown on income into the industry is about $5 billion a month in the normal course of events would be domestic, and about a bit over four is normally international. So, you know, much as I know that the Prime Minister will listen when it comes to tourism, it's not accurate to say that domestic can fill the gap. It cannot. Yeah. If you're trying to get a booking in Byron Bay or somewhere like that, you're going to struggle. Noosa, maybe. But if you're a business in northern Queensland, or you're a business in southern New South Wales, or you're in the Coorong in South Australia, you're not seeing anyone and you've got no business. Mm. So it's quite wrong to suggest that domestic will fill the gap. Apart from which, as you and I've discussed before, Aussies don't spend nearly as much as international visitors do.
While we're on that point, this is page one of yesterday's Australian. Australia's chief health bureaucrat has warned the country's international borders are unlikely to reopen until at least 2022. To the dismay of many in the embattled travel industry, this really took the rug out from under a whole lot of workers concerned about, well, not getting their jobs back until mid-year or later. Well, now, according to the chief health bureaucrat, it could be beyond the end of this year.
And this is why governments at all levels need to reconsider the support for this industry, because it's not like we're a tradie or a baker or a petrol station. The borders really don't mean that much in that context, but they do for us. It's, you know, it's our bread and butter, it's what we live on. And I think the other part of this exercise too is, and you rightly point out in relation to staff, for many skilled workers, so, you know, people in middle management and working their way up the line, or specialists in data management or marketing or whatever else it might be, they're all saying to themselves now, well, I can't see a future career in tourism, taking my skills somewhere else. Mm. And when those international borders do open, we'll be flat out having the people to deliver to those tourists. In fact, we won't have them. And we'll be lucky if we've got anything for people to see and do while they're here, because there's lots of attractions that are holding on by their fingernails.
Oh, precisely. Margie, you made an interesting point about, the Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, they're not doing too bad. Well, they've got, 2.5 million population of Brisbane on their doorstep. But it was interesting. I had one of the operators of the reef fleet coming back from Brisbane, driving back the other day. As he left that southeast corner, bit by bit, he noticed there were less and less numbers of people in the accommodation houses until, of course, he got up here and it was flat as a tack. So that's a very good point. If you're down in Brisbane, you think, the tourism industry's doing okay. I was just down the Gold Coast, they're chockers. I couldn't get a coffee up on the Sunshine Coast. I can understand their confusion. They're out of touch with the reality of what it's like up here.
That's right. And I think they're out of touch with the fact that not every tourism business is geared for domestic visitation, nor do Australians necessarily want to do all the things that international visitors do. Mm. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, and it's not just a case of spend the money you might have spent overseas here in Australia. Mm. That's not going to happen either, because I think people are losing confidence in the whole process of booking travel, and I think that's one the Prime Minister probably needs to focus on. You know, the border's closed. Is it worth trying to book? You know, am I going to get my money back? Yep. Oh, it's all just too hard. I'll stay home.
Margie, you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you.
Well, thank you, John, for all your interest and support.
Margie Osmond is the Chief Executive Officer of the Tourism Transport Forum. We go.